Kafa Day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Tom Farrell. It was presented in a chapel service in November of 2005. The title of the message, A Little Thing That Makes a Big Difference.
Proverbs 25 and verse 28. The Bible says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." I want to talk to you for a few minutes on this topic, a little thing that makes a big difference. Lots of people have things they like to do. I like to read slogans and logos. As an evangelist, I travel all over the world and I see all kinds of little sayings. My wife and I were flying on the plane. She was reading a magazine. She said, "Honey, look at this." And I looked at the magazine and there was a plaque that said, "Attitude is everything." I said, "That's interesting." She said, "Look at this one." The next one said, "Attitudes are contagious." I said, "That's interesting." The next one said, "A little thing that makes a big difference, attitude." I said, "Honey, I'm going to get me a sermon on that." So I began to do a little study on the word attitude to find out what our people in the United States thought. I found out USA Today, one of the leading newspapers, did a survey of 3,000 businesses. And they asked the owners this question: what's the number one thing you look for when you hire somebody? You know what it was? Not academics, attitude. Harvard University, a leading university in the United States of America, found out that 84% of the reason for accomplishing anything in life, attitude. Fortune 500 prints the names and businesses of people who make over $1 million. They ask all of these men, "How did you become so successful?" 95% said, "Attitude." And I found out in my country that was a big, big deal. I said, "Enough of that. I'm going to find out what the Bible says." So I had a computer program and I typed in the word attitude. You know what I found? That word is never found in the Bible. You say, "Now, how are you going to preach on something that's not in the Bible?" Well, the word attitude is not found in the Bible, but there's another word that is. It's used many times. It is the word spirit. It's found in Numbers 5, verse 14. The spirit of jealousy is found in Numbers 14, 24. "My servant Caleb, he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully." Found in Psalm 77, 3. "When I complained, my spirit was overwhelmed." Found in Daniel 6 and verse 4. "But this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, for he had an excellent spirit in him." Now, let me tell you what you're known for. Everybody knows you for this. You're most known for your attitude. When you die, you will not be known for primarily your accomplishments, your achievements, your attire, all the things that you have. You will be known for your attitude. Did you know on an airplane, they have an attitude indicator? I was flying and I said to a pilot, "I read about an attitude indicator. Show me where it is on your plane." This is before we took off. He said, "It's right here." He said, "You want to know what it does?" I said, "No, I want to tell you what I think it does. You tell me if I'm right or wrong." He said, "Okay, go ahead." I said, "The attitude indicator tells you the position of the plane in relationship to the horizon. If you're climbing, they call it a nose-up attitude. If you're descending, they call it a nose-down attitude." He said, "Man, you've done your homework. That's exactly what it does." And let me ask you a question. Are you climbing for God with a nose-up attitude? Or are you descending and about to crash because you got a bad attitude? Now, here's what your Bible says. "He that hath no rule, he does not control, dominate, take care, take charge of his own spirit, is like a city broken down without walls." Your attitude is your choice. You know what your Bible says? Psalm 9 and verse 2, "I will rejoice and be glad in thee." What? I choose to do that. Psalm 9 and verse 14, "I will be glad in thy salvation." Psalm 40 and verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O God." You know what part of the will of God is? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So your attitude is your choice. Every single day, it's a choice. By the way, it's a result of your focus. Let me give you a little thought. Your focus determines your future. You ready? Your focus determines your future. Say it with me. Your focus determines your future. Now, this is what I focus on when I think about God. God is good all the time. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. You say, preacher, you don't know all the things I go through. Well, I know that within 18 months, I buried my father and I buried my mother, and God is still good all the time. You go through financial problems or health problems. You go through emotional problems. You have relationship problems, but God is good all the time. Psalm 34 and verse 8, O taste and see the Lord is good. Psalm 119, 168, thou art good and doest good. So God is good all the time. It's a result of your focus, but now watch me in the face. Your attitude is reflected in your face. I'm a face reader. I'm reading your face right now. Some people go to the zoo. I go to the mall. You say, why? Oh, I would much rather watch people than animals. They're a whole lot funnier. Now, my wife goes shopping. I go to the mall. And I sit down and I watch people come out. And you can tell by their face what they're thinking. I can tell by your face many times what you're thinking. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5, Cain was wroth. It means he got mad and his countenance fell. His countenance fell. Proverbs 21:29 says, a wicked man hardens his face. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. In other words, if you're happy down here, it ought to show out here. You say, I'm happy, I'm happy. Well, tell your face, because it doesn't know. You see, if you're happy here, it comes out here. That's what the Bible is saying. So your attitude is your choice. Number two, you ready to write? Your attitude brings consequences. Your attitude brings consequences. I'll say it a third time. Your attitude brings consequences. Now, don't write anything. Let me explain something. What does it mean you're like a city that is broken down and without walls? Well, in the day in which that was written, if a city did not have walls, it was missing two things. One, it was missing defense, because the walls were for defense. Number two was missing dignity. You have to study history to find out that the Babylonians had double walls. As a matter of fact, they made their gates out of brass. And they hung them so that when the sun hit it, it was so bright it almost blinded people, and it made the city actually look bigger than what it was. And here's what God is saying. If you don't control your attitude, if you have a critical attitude, I don't like you. If you have a complaining attitude, I don't like that food. I don't know why we have to eat that food. That tastes good to me. If you have a conceited attitude, everybody see me? If you have those kind of attitudes, you're like a city that is broken down and without walls. You have no dignity and no defense. You know what that means? Years ago, this actually took place. People in Oriental times would walk by cities when the walls were caved in, and they would do this. For they said, that is a trash city. That is no city at all. We have no respect for it. Did you realize the first thing that will happen to you if you have a bad attitude is you'll be ridiculed? People make fun of you. People start talking about you. They really will. Number one, you can be ridiculed. Number two, you can be robbed. Isaiah 42:22 says this. This people is robbed and spoiled. Now, young people, some of you are in your late teens and early 20s. Listen to me. Don't waste a day. I'm 53 years of age. I don't waste any time. I don't sleep a whole lot. Years ago, I made up my mind that if you slept 8 hours a night, and that's fine if you do, that's 1/3 of a day, and if you live to be 60 years of age, you'll have spent 20 years going, and I didn't want to do that. So I prayed, dear God, take sleep away from me and give me a good long sleep in a short period of time. So I don't sleep a lot. I go to bed excited, I get up excited, and I have relapse all day long. I like life. Don't wash away your life. because you get a bad attitude. Some people have a bad Monday, and they bring Monday into Tuesday, so they have a bad Tuesday. They bring Tuesday into Wednesday, they have a bad Wednesday, and pretty soon they have a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, and a stinking life. Don't get robbed. If you have a bad attitude, you'll get robbed of joy and peace. You'll get robbed of time. I'm going to tell you two stories. One of them happened to my father. He tried to help a man whose name was Bill. Bill had a small handicap. When he was a boy, he had polio. He was a little crippled. When he got older, they built up the bottom of his shoe with some extra sole so that he didn't walk with a limp, but he could walk straighter. He still had a little limp, but he had a terrible attitude. Have you ever met people you didn't want to be around? That was Bill. When I was a little boy, I was scared of him. When I became a teenager, I wasn't scared of him. But if he came towards my dad, I said, "I'd see you, Pop." I'd leave. When Bill died, he had all the people you could count on one hand that came to his funeral. His own wife didn't like him because his attitude stunk. He was a lonely guy. Interestingly enough, when I was in college, there was a guy right across the hall from me. His name was Bill. He had a terrible handicap. He too had polio. His arms were like this on crutches. His legs were like this in braces. And I can still see him as he walked across the campus. He'd walk like this. He sweated even in the wintertime because it took effort to walk. But he had the neatest attitude. If you saw him coming, "Bill, how you doing?" "Praising the Lord." And it always was real. Now this Bill, everybody liked. That Bill, nobody liked. This Bill, everybody wanted to help. I had 75 guys on this end of my hall, and those guys would go by and knock on his door. "Hey, Bill, I'm going to the snack shop. You want a Coke? How about a candy bar? You want a Cadillac? What do you want, man? We'll get you anything you want." Everybody liked Bill. Well, I said, Brother Henson, to some guys when I was in school, I said, "Guys, let's take an offering and buy Bill a golf cart. Then he won't have to walk. He can ride." Well, there's 5,000 of us in school. We raise the money like that. We could have bought a golf course, man. But we got a golf cart. And I got a ribbon, put it on the front of it, and I said to the guys, "Everybody meet out front." I said, "Somebody go get Bill." Bill came out walking on his crutches, and we started applauding. He lit up like two Christmas trees. I mean, he was smiling. Now, Bill was smart. He did not drive that cart. He crawled in the front seat. Another friend of mine drove the cart. Well, when they took off, everybody's applauding. You know what Bill was doing? Looked like he was running for president. I told that story 5 years ago, and a man out loud on the front row said, "Hey, I remember that." I said, "Yeah, you gave to the thing." Everybody remembers Bill. Interesting. One Bill had a little handicap, terrible attitude, lost life. The other Bill had a terrible handicap, a great attitude, and lived life. It's all up to you, young people. Because your attitude's your choice. But not only can you be ridiculed and robbed, you can be ruined. You know what happened to a city if they didn't rebuild their walls? They were destroyed. I mean, wiped out. Now, some of you are going to get married, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get a good attitude, you're going to lose your marriage. Some of you are going to have children, but if you don't have a good attitude, you're going to lose your children. It's going to ruin your life. Isaiah 3 and verse 8 says, "Judah is fallen and Jerusalem is destroyed." And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't learn to take charge of your attitude and have a good one, you're going to have the sorriest type of life you could possibly have. Now, this is documented. I learned recently studying science that doctors say if you get third-degree burns or if you're diagnosed with potential terminal disease, cancer, heart attack, if you have a good attitude, God so constructed the body that when you have a positive attitude, you have secretions that come through your body that aid healing. But if you have a lousy attitude, there are acids that fill your body that'll send you to an early grave. You say, "Preacher, that's interesting." Well, God told us that centuries ago. See if you know this verse. "A merry heart doeth good like a..." Isn't that interesting? Now, Pastor Henson's father has a friend he taught with named Dr. Walt Fremont. Dr. Walt Fremont taught me when I was in college. He's one of these guys that was always excited. I mean, he was always praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He had an earned PhD, but he was one of the most exciting guys you ever met in your life. Probably 15, 17 years ago, he got Lou Gehrig's disease. I'll tell you what it does. It makes your body so your arms don't work, your legs don't work. Eventually, it'll cave in your lungs so you can't breathe. He should have died 12 years ago, but he's still alive. You say, you're kidding. No, he's still alive. And I'm convinced one of the reasons he's alive is because he's had such a positive attitude. Dr. Heron just went to visit him. I visited him a year ago. Just went in to love on him. And he was able to do this. He couldn't talk. So he used to always say, praise the Lord. He'd raise his hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say it with me. Praise the Lord. I mean, he always was excited. Then he got to where he couldn't speak. So when he saw me, because we've been friends for years, he raised his hands and did this. Because he can't talk. Now, Brother Heron says he can't raise his arms. So he told them before he got to where he couldn't speak and he couldn't raise his arms, I will raise my eyebrows. And that will tell you I'm saying praise the Lord. And Brother Heron just told us on Sunday night, he went in and went to visit Brother Fremont, and he couldn't raise his body, so he just raised his eyebrows. You know what he's saying? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do that. Praise the Lord. They walk in your room, you're going, praise the Lord. You know what? If I was God and I had a person like Dr. Fremont who was always giving me praise, I wouldn't let him die either. I'd keep him right down here because there's a lot of people that complain and moan and groan. So your attitude is your choice. Your attitude brings consequences, but finally your attitude can be conquered. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and let me show you what Jesus said in verse 32. Proverbs 16, 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth or takes charge or conquers his spirit than he that taketh a city. How do you conquer your attitude? Well, the first thing that you do is confess your failure. You know what the word confess means? Say the same thing God does. God said, hey, that's pride, it's sin. And you say, God, it's pride, it's sin. I'm fully responsible. And the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, here's what you can say. Everybody watch me. Here's what you can say. But you don't understand my home. My hormones are acting up. I don't feel good. I got a stomach ache. I got an ingrown toenail. It's hot outside. You can say anything you want. But the truth of the matter is, you have to take responsibility for your own attitude. And if you do, God cleanses that attitude. So confess your failure. Change your focus. How do you change your focus? Stop thinking about the negative things of life and think about the positive things. How many of you guys, maybe you girls too, do you like football? Anybody like football? You like to watch a few of you. Some of you like soccer. There's a fella who used to play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Previously, he played for the San Francisco 49ers. He was declared by some sports authors the best quarterback in the 20th century. His name was Joe Montana. Now, Joe was some kind of quarterback. He'd drop back in the pocket and he'd fling that pass. And when he did, if the guy didn't catch it and he bobbled it and it fell down, you'd watch Joe do this. Watch. Here's what he'd do. And then you'd watch him go. He'd go back to the huddle. He'd go down, stand up, go back to the huddle. Thought, I wonder what he's doing. So a sports commentator interviewed him. He said, Joe, what do you do that for? Well, he says, I'm shaking off that play. He said, every play is a new play. I got my Bible out and I wrote, every day is a new day. Every day is a new day. Let me just have a word for those of you in the administration. Criticism is a part of leadership. Don't ever forget I said that. If you've never been criticized, you're not leading. Because criticism is a part of leadership. My wife will testify to this. I get a nasty phone call at 8 o'clock in the morning. Hang it up and take the next phone call as if it never happened. Because my attitude's my choice. Nobody reigns on my parade. Nobody determines whether I have a good or bad day except me, because it's all up to what I choose to do. Every play is a new play. Every day is a new day. Don't let what happened yesterday mess you up for today. Now, some of you girls, you had a boyfriend. Oh. And he is seeing somebody else. So what? There's other boys. Just simply say, you missed out. Too bad, big boy. But there's somebody better. Don't let that drag you down. If you play basketball, do any of you play basketball? Huh? You make a shot, it hits the rim and falls out. Oh, I can't believe it. You make the next shot, it falls out. You know why? You're thinking about the shot you missed. Don't think about the shot you missed. Think about the shot you're going to make. That's why Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So confess your failure, change your focus, communicate your faith. Now, what does that mean? Speak out your faith. Talk back to God your faith. It's called meditation. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Start talking back to God all the positive things that He taught you in His Word. For instance, John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I fly all over the world, and I can guarantee you when you fly, there's going to be misconnections. There's going to be times you can get stuck in an airport. You know what I did years ago? Probably 30 years ago. I said, there's going to be times I'm not going to make it. So I carry my computer. I carry books. And it just used to unnerve me. I'm going to be late for the meeting. Well, I can't fly the plane. The first time I flew to Guam, I was a day late. Pastor John Lewis, pastor of this church, I called him from Los Angeles, California. I said, Pastor, my plane got in late. The plane to Guam is already gone. I'm not going to be there till tomorrow. He started laughing. I thought he was going to be mad. He started laughing. He said, you're not the first guy this has happened to. He said, I'll preach Sunday morning. You preach Sunday night. I didn't get an ulcer. I didn't die from a heart attack. I got a free night's rest. I got a free meal. I showed up and we started the meeting. See, my attitude is my choice. And so I'm going to have some conflicts. I communicate my faith. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Preacher, I'm having a hard time with English. I can do all things through Christ, including English, because He strengthens me. And so you communicate your faith to God. And then finally, celebrate your future. You do not have to be tomorrow what you are today. You may have had a bad week last week, but you don't have to have a bad week this week. See, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and two good works that He hath before ordained we should walk in them. Did you know God's got big plans for you? You say, nobody thinks that much of me. Listen, God made you for a specific purpose. And He's got great big plans for you. He's got plans for you that nobody else can fulfill but you. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You know one of the reasons I don't sleep a whole lot? Because I'm excited about every day. I get out of bed, man, I go take a shower, and I say, I can't wait to see what's going to happen today. I'm looking forward to tonight. I'm looking forward to chapel tomorrow. I'm excited about the Cola Wars that are going on. Next week, I'm going to Indonesia, to the island of Nias. I just received an email. They're supposed to come by literally the hundreds. They're anticipating our arrival, and the missionary said, whatever you do, don't cancel. These people are waiting right now for you to come. I mean, I'm excited about this. These are great days. Celebrate your future. You say, I had a hard year last year. Have a great year this year. You say, my health's not real good. Your health will be better if you don't constantly say, I got a footache. I don't feel good. Get excited about life. Celebrate your future. This is the only day that you have. Get excited about every moment living for Jesus. How many of you know who Thomas Edison is? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. Let me tell you who Thomas Edison is. Thomas Edison founded the incandescent light bulb. Those little bulbs right up there that are showing light. He was the inventor of them. But he didn't invent it the first time. As a matter of fact, he did 10,000 experiments that didn't succeed. A smart aleck newspaper writer came to him one day and said, Mr. Edison, how does it feel to have failed 10,000 times? Thomas Edison said, young man, have a seat. I'm going to change your life. He said, I did not fail 10,000 times. I found 10,000 things that do not work. When I find what does work, I will invent the light bulb. 4,000 experiments later. Figure them, 14,000 experiments, you have the light bulb. Now, many of you have heard of Thomas Edison. Have you ever heard of the critical newspaper writer? You don't know his name. And it really doesn't make any difference. You know why? The difference is attitude. Now, before we pray, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I have a good attitude? Do I have a good attitude about school? Do I have a good attitude about the teachers? Do I have a good attitude about church? Do I have a good attitude about the meals? What kind of attitude do I have? Am I a complaining person? Do I criticize? Am I conceited? What kind of attitude do I have? I'm going to start it, you finish it. Your attitude is your and it will be every single day.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled A Little Thing That Makes a Big Difference by Evangelist Tom Farrell. It was originally presented in November of 2005 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.